Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with my big bro, Andre Jalil.
You gonna shut me down on the thing like, what's up? Let's talk about it. Don't put me on timeout. You heard him, Joe? What's up? You got me muted yet? What's up? Come on, man.
And welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. Just wanted to bring you guys back. Of course, Dre's in rare form today.
I'm chilling. As long as we good, I'm chilling. Like, you know what I mean?
Listen, bro, let's not bring whatever happened in Vegas stays in Vegas. We don't want to bring that to, you know what I mean? We don't want to bring that to light. Whatever happened backstage, keep backstage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If we got to get crazy backstage again, you know what I mean? We don't have to get there. But anyway.
Do that after the show.
We do that after the show. After this clip.
Anyway.
Classic. Anyway, so we're here to basically just wrap up the first half of the season, obviously. Our Knicks were represented somewhat in the All-Star, during the All-Star weekend. Of course, Quentin Grimes was a part of the Rising Stars Challenge. Jericho Sims in the dunk contest, and of course, our two-time All-Star Julius Randle was part of the All-Star game, and he did a pretty decent job. He had fun. He went out there and had fun. I think that's all that matters. So let's start off with Quentin Grimes as far as the weekend goes. I think, what's the word? Is it put the league on notice? I don't even think it's.
What did he drop? 27, 37? What did he drop? 27?
I think altogether 27 points. He was out there on a mission. It looked like he was just trying to prove to everybody what he can really do. He plays a role here on the Knicks, but he's capable of doing more, which, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him more often, but at the end of the day, you got the three-headed monster of Brunson, Randall, and RJ. And they take at least 12 shots each per game. So, I mean, it's not many shots out there for Grimes to get, unfortunately. But the guy, he's a great player. I mean,
he's out there waiting for somebody to get injured. He's like, go ahead, get hurt. I'll be out here.
Right. And, you know, I guess we still haven't necessarily seen why he shouldn't have been included in these trades for Donovan Mitchell just yet. Of course, we had some people who still don't see the value in Quentin Grimes, which is just still weird. But anyway, just to get some clips out there. Oh, and shout out to the chat. Appreciate you guys. Of course, Xavier, appreciate you, bro. Let's get some clips going. Let's get some clips to see what we're talking about here with Quentin Grimes. I wouldn't even say I don't know. I wish he was able to win. He definitely would have got MVP if they won. But unfortunately, this is what we're blessed with. He's showing out a little bit. And that's the thing about Grimes is he's capable of a lot more than what he actually shows. He's seen above the defense at all times.
Like, we've seen him do some crazy stuff. Yeah. You remember that one drive he had to the basket where he switched hands and reversed it?
Mm-hmm. He's got a few of those.
Yeah, we see him do some wild stuff, bro.
Yeah.
I would say one thing I've noticed about him, though, is he's going to have to work if he really wants to, but like, unless he's comfortable in the role he's in, if he really want to become like a better player, he got to get his pull-up game. I don't know if anybody else notices. A lot of the times when he's trying to create and like shoot like a pull-up mid-range jumper, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's balance or what, he leaves that shit short like all the time.
Right. Which I think he'll figure out, but it's very
tough. Not in this game.
you can actually say, oh, I mean, it's a little bit loose. It's different when you're playing without your coach. You just
go out there and play. Yo, he comes back. Yo, if I was a coach, I come back. I'm like, yo, yo, come here for a second. Yo, that All-Star game, like, yo, that's what you was doing All-Star game. You can't do that all, like, all the time.
Can't do that
steals, all that. Yeah, off the dribble, all kinds of, like, you could do that.
He was all over.
I didn't see that. Looking at the bench, Joakim Noah was out there hype.
Oh, give me that. Give me that. That's the thing about Grimes, man, is he's a two-way player. I love seeing a player like that. That was a foul. I ain't gonna lie, that was a foul.
Yeah, that was a crazy shot right there because he had to like go get it and then like turn like quickly and shoot.
Look at him.
That was great defense. He's a very intriguing player because I do feel like this kind of stuff that we're seeing him do right here, like taking over games, I do think that's part of his career. I'm not sure where. I'm not sure if that's going to be here or where, but I don't know. I don't know what I see in Quentin Grimes. I do see the ability to be a three level scorer. You can score in the paint. You can score mid range, which you know we just talked about was a little shaky sometimes with the pull up, but and you know drive to the basket, which he finishes pretty well. He's starting to dunk a little bit more often in his fast breaks, which is something I didn't really expect. He's looking good. How do you guys feel about Grimes in terms of what his potential is in New York? Not just as a player in general for his career, but in New York, because you know that's two different things.
I think the Knicks let us know what they feel. They wasn't trying to move him or nothing like that. I think whatever the potential is that we haven't seen, I feel like the Knicks organization is already seeing, and they want him here. That's the impression I got. It sounds like they want him here. They weren't going to like it's. They, it sounded like they had names of R.J. Barrett was up there, and they say the Q Grimes. They was like, nope. That's what it sounded like. What it came back from, right. You know, the trade rumors and everything. It sounded like he a keeper. So I think he got a nice little career with the Knicks.
It came out that some people in the Knicks brass thought that he had more potential than Barrett.
See, and I feel like the way Barrett has been playing the first half of the season, it might be right. And not that he's bad, but you know, I think that the kid they see something.
Yeah, I think go ahead. What were you gonna say, Joe?
Yeah, I was saying when I watch him though, like certain things I see like. Even when he tries to create, like, I don't know if you noticed, he actually creates, like, space.
Yeah.
He just misses a shot.
Yeah.
Like, when I watch RJ, RJ has a difficult time, like, separating from the guy that's guarding him. So, I mean, that's something I look at. Like, if he could put it all together with the space that he's able to create and actually start making shots, it could be a problem for the league.
Yeah. I mean, they're still starting him. I think it's just a matter of getting him more shots. You know what I'm saying? I think he averages like 5-6 shots a game. And that's just off the top of my head. I'm not really sure.
Xavier, we're not still paying Noah.
We're not anymore, right? I think last year was the last year for that, right?
Yeah, we're not paying him.
Xavier says, was it a subtle jab? That Joakim Noah was having the only Nick on any of the teams as a reminder that we're still paying Joakim Noah, and just I mean I think we just finished paying him.
We're not paying him no more.
Yeah, last year. I mean, I've never had a quarrel with Joakim Noah. It was clearly the people who were above him.
I did.
Listen, I'm not going to blame the player, bro. The player will always take money. Will always. You can never blame a player for taking money. You throw the money at that guy, you're the blame. Especially if it's Joakim. At the time that they threw the money at Joakim, what the hell were you even thinking, Phil? Like, at what
I don't know. You didn't hear the story?
The story that he went and smoked some weed with him at his cabin or some shit like that?
Nah, I guess he ran into Phil. I don't know how true this shit is, but it's a story that's been told, so I'm assuming there's some truth to it. He ran into Phil and he told Phil, like, you know, that his shoulder was healthy. And he put his arm out and said to Phil, like, yeah, you can hang on it if you want to. Like, I'll show you. I don't think Phil actually hung on it. I mean, it'd be look a little weird if a 6'7" guy was like hanging on a 6'10" guy's arm, but
you should have fucking hung on his damn arm with it.
I'd have hung on that shit.
You kidding me? The amount of money that he threw at him, I would have hung on his fucking arm too. Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Raul, what's good?
Yo, what's going on, Raul? My God.
Yeah, I would have hung on that shit too, bro.
I just that whole situation was just dumb to me. And then you make moves like that, but then you publicly shit on Carmelo Anthony. Like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like, I don't
understand. I told you, but that dude was here to sabotage the Knicks, bro. You can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah, there's people who feel like that's literally what his job was.
Dead ass, he came to sabotage the Knicks. He took the money and he came to sabotage the Knicks, bro. No doubt in my mind.
The team that you actually won a championship with, though. Like, starting.
He's also, don't matter. He was the coach of the Bulls, bro. I don't trust him.
But he won a championship here first.
So what?
Yo, bro, he got paid to be a coach and coach the best
player. Yeah, he said, fuck it, I'm gonna fall asleep. And when I'm supposed to be scouting Donovan Mitchell, I'm gonna just take this little nap.
You know what I think is ironic about that? Didn't Kobe also get drafted fucking 13?
Did he? I don't know. I don't remember.
Drafted 13. I want to be sure about that.
But yeah, bro, he was sleeping through his whole tenure here.
13th overall by the Hornets. And Phil Jackson fell asleep in Donovan Mitchell's workout, and Donovan Mitchell was selected 13th overall. I don't know. It doesn't mean anything. Just a little bit of a coincidence with the number 13. Very frustrating, by the way. But so it's part of our history. It's not part of our past. Unfortunately, it's part of our history. And that fucking sucks. That really sucks. Jose
said, I mean, actually, that's a good thing that it's part of our history. It's history. It happened already. We move on.
I really wish it was his story instead of history for the Knicks. But, you know, touche. RJ doesn't pass, so defenders just play him. Grimes makes quicker decisions with the ball. Grimes is more athletic than RJ and has more lateral movement defensively. I don't know if he's more athletic than RJ.
I think he is.
He absolutely is. RJ, we already said it. He's slow.
I think he's more athletic.
He's strong. He's strong, but he's not athletic. He's athletic. Like, he's an athlete. Like, don't get me wrong, but he's not.
I think Grimes is a better athlete than RJ, bro.
100%.
I can't agree with that. We're not talking basketball. I'm just talking about athletics. I've seen RJ do some shit that I've never seen Grimes do. Grimes is pretty athletic for, you know, a guard. But he's just a guard. I can't see that he's more athletic than RJ.
Okay. I'm gonna agree with
faster because he's a guard.
Sure. I'm gonna agree with Jose on this one.
Yeah, he's faster because he's a guard. He has more, definitely better footwork. But that's the only thing. I'm not sure. I mean, I just feel like they might be a little bit equal when it comes to athletics. Athletically, I don't think they're both in the same tier. I'll say that they're both in the same tier to me. I don't see RJ or Grimes as in a higher tier athletically than each other. They're both pretty decent. And King Ribby, I don't listen, bro. It's not about I'm not gonna make this the show, okay? This is not the RJ is not as good as Grimes' show, because that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, nobody. I don't know. I don't know. Wait a minute, y'all. Why do people do shit like that, Brad? See, this is why these dudes be spazzing out on like ESPN radio on the callers.
What do you mean?
Like, literally, nobody said that RJ wasn't better than Grimes right now. Like, not one person on this panel said that. Yo. where did that come from, bro?
Nah, the question was who's more athletic, like straight athletics. I think they're two different players. I think Grimes is more of a guard, and I think RJ.
I think so. This is what I think. I think Grimes is finishing at the rim. Is all the proof we need that he's just a better, more explosive athlete at the rim than RJ. Part of RJ's problem is that he's not explosive at the rim. That's why he can't make layups.
No. Finishing and the athletics are completely two completely different.
I think they go hand in hand.
No, I think it's about touch. No, because Kyrie Irving is probably the best skilled person under the rim, and he's not athletic.
That's completely different, though. The way Grimes, hold on. I said they go hand in hand. And I think even though Kyrie is not dunking on people, I still think that he's a better athlete than RJ. RJ is just a stiff. I don't know. There's a reason why my man called him Rosie. There's a reason why Dobbs called him Rosie, bro.
I'll take the L on this one. It's whatever.
We spent way too much time on this shit anyway.
Yeah, right. It's not even that deep. I think RJ has the keys to do more without getting yanked from the game. I think Grimes has more in his bag we can't see. I mean, in terms of just creativity with the ball, of course, I mean, that's not like we're dragging this out way too long because this is not even.
We really are. This shit wasn't even supposed to be like a topic.
That wasn't even the question at all. That wasn't even the question. I don't know. I don't understand where the hell we are right now. But
yeah, how do we get here, bro?
I personally feel as though Grimes has a lot to offer this team without including RJ. Like, I swear, every single conversation with another guy.
Yeah, we really don't need to compare.
Like, no, but this happens all the time. Every single time. Yeah. One guy on the team who's a wing is like, see, but this is what I don't like about RJ. It's like, Doug, why are we talking about RJ? Where did RJ come in this conversation?
But it's like I told you, yo. When I look at these four guys, right, that are occupying most of the guard / wing minutes, like, I think they all bring something different, and I think all of those different things are important to this team.
Exactly. I mean, is there things that we wish RJ did better? Absolutely. But RJ is not trash. Like, The RJ is trash takes that we hear is like crazy for a 22-year-old kid like who's nowhere near done developing. Do I think
he's not trash? All-star?
Absolutely not. But I'm not he's not trash. Like
I want to say absolutely not, but I can't call it right now, bro.
I think I'm a potential to be a star for sure. Potential is there. The potential. But as we know, there's a lot of, I mean, Cam Reddish has potential to be a star. So
it's frustrating because, like, you see these games from RJ, like, you've seen the game against the Bulls, the game against the Heat, where he just, like, explodes. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, where the fuck has that been, bro?
Who?
Oh, RJ. Like, with RJ, you see these games where he just goes nuts. And it's just like, yo, where has this guy been? And then he just, like, it's just pretty regular. For like a couple of weeks, and then he has like this another like explosive game, and it's just like, bruh, can you please like, can I inject more of this into my veins, please, bro?
I just think personally that there's things that RJ brings to the game that certain games call for, and certain games don't. Like, there's gonna be games where RJ, whatever RJ brings to the game. It's very, very important. Stop. Don't even stop.
I'm not doing it with this dude. Yeah.
Izzy, what up, baby? I see King, yo, too. I don't know what he's trying to say. King said, what he said?
You already know anything that King is saying in this chat. Not King Ribby,
by the way. No, we're not King Ribby. Anything King Ribby is, King Ribby is all right with me, but
anything that King is saying is for sure.
He said the Knicks as a whole ain't at an athletic.
For sure. A troll. So nobody fall into the trap. Yes, you got one. We got you. This is your first and last chance. All right. You happy, Dante?
Yes, you're absolutely right. RJ has been in the league 4 years, and we're all sick and tired of the same bullshit every year. We agree with you, Gibson. 100%,
bro. I've been saying that from the first year.
To stop I've giving been him, saying him and Obi were lottery picks.
No more excuses for RJ. It's over.
But this is my thing. What the excuse for what? What are we giving him excuses for?
But are you not giving him excuses for?
Not me.
Yeah, you was the one that was like, yo, it's his first year.
Nah, but this is my
thing. You're like, yo, it's his second year. And I was saying, like, when you look at John Morant, I was using John Morant because he got picked right before him, right?
All right.
See, yeah, you can't do that, though.
Listen. What I'm saying is, when you look at John Morant or you look at Zion and you look at RJ, you know what you get. It is what it is at this point. Like, you got – Deuce could get better. There's always potential he could get better. But I think the RJ Barrett we got is the RJ Barrett you're going to get. At this point, 4 years in, I don't think he sucks. I just think that there's a problem with his consistency.
I just don't think he's Ja Morant or Zion. He's not a star. So why are we comparing
But this is what I'm saying. I feel like Ja Morant showed that he was going to be a star early on. Like, you can see.
That matter?
Because we always get this thing. Well, you know, he's got this his first year. I mean, some people show in their first year.
Yo, bro.
You know what I mean? And sometimes but he got potential, though, Cap.
That's not what I'm asking you. My frustration is, us as Knicks fans, the first thing we do is, if it's not a star, get him the fuck out of here.
I didn't say none of that.
It sounds like that when all we say about the guy is negative shit.
Oh, no, I'm not saying none of that. I think that RJ is going to end up being teetering between being like a role player or like the first guy off the bench.
And if that's his career, what's wrong with that?
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but I just don't think we a lot of times he was saying, yo, he's all-star potential, he's star potential, and I don't think so.
All right,
that's
but
fair.
Me thinking that he has all-star potential doesn't mean that we should play him as our all-star. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I say someone has all-star potential, that don't mean like, yo, I think he's going to be an amazing player. Nah, I'm looking at the tools he has and projecting what he can be. I'm not saying what he will be. You know what I'm saying? And that goes for anybody. That goes for all of the guys. Huh?
What's the tools he has?
What are the tools that he has? Do you watch his games? You tell me the tools that he has.
He's strong, Josh. We just said he don't finish. He's not a good finisher. Some games he shoots really well. Okay. Some games, like I said, it's about his consistency. That's all.
Right. So, like Joe said, RJ, Grimes, Quickly, what's the other guy? What's the other four? What's the fourth one? Josh Hart. Depending on the game, each one of those guys can or can't bring you certain things. We're not dependent on RJ for anything. So I don't know why we're making him into this. And that's the thing. Same shit that we did with Carmelo.
I will say this, though, Kat. For this team to take whatever next step that we hope they take in the second half, I do think that he's got to be better.
Bro, like, I've said it on this show.
He can't keep playing the way he's playing right now. Like, all this, like, talk about possibly having a puncher's chance in the first round against whoever we play. Like, we don't have a chance if he's going to play the way he's playing now. No chance at all.
I've said plenty of times on this show, and I've probably said it within the last few shows, that if RJ doesn't step it up, he has to go. So, this is my thing. I'm not building this RJ will be an all-star thing. I just feel like there is multiple things multiple guys can bring to a team. And if you feel like RJ brings nothing to your squad, cool. Like, if you feel like he absolutely brings you nothing, then cool. I don't think he brings you nothing. I think he brings you just enough for your third best player. And I think that's exactly where he is. That's who RJ is. He's your third best player, maybe fourth, depending on who your team is. And
for me, like,
to be on anyone's team, he's a player who can help your team. He's not nobody you're gonna rely on ever. He's, you know what I mean?
Huh? You're getting paid more than Julius,
bro.
No, he doesn't.
However, whatever he's getting paid got nothing to do with what I think he's gonna be. That's what I'm saying. I don't want this to be like I'm trying to defend RJ. Why are we even still talking about RJ? Like, this is why I'm fucking lost as fuck right now.
We have spent way more time than
bringing it up.
No,
we have spent. RJ at number three. He said RJ's salary going up from 23 to 30 million next 4 seasons.
We wasn't even talking about the chat yet. This is just Dre. Dre doesn't like RJ. He's not RJ.
We started from the chat. We started going, y'all saying, why are we talking about RJ? And then you started explaining, and I was like, explain his tools. And so we just keep going down here.
Right. Right. So
RJ's dope, though. I'm happy we got him.
I mean, you can fake it all you want. My point is that Grimes, who we originally talking about here, just go back to
the dropped 27 at the All-Star game. Yeah, RJ dropped 27. Nah, let me stop.
This is why we can never stay on topic, bro.
Yeah, we can. Not with Dre, yeah.
I swear to God. What are we talking about in the chat?
Oh, man. RJ.
RJ is the topic in the chat.
Bro, like, this is like, I don't even understand. Thank you. They're not even in the same boat. They're not even in the same boat. Like, he was selected third. Is that his fault? No, that's the dumbass team's fault. Like,
no, I don't even think it was the team's fault, though. Like, it was, who was it? It was going to be RJ.
It's not RJ's fault.
It's not RJ's fault, but like,
when he was drafted,
people complain that he was the third pick. Like, that's where I get a little like defensive, because your options really were DeAndre Hunter, who a lot of Hawks fans weren't gone. Yeah. DeAndre Hunter and Garland, who played seven games in college, probably not even seven games, honestly. And the Knicks just weren't going to take a risk on Garland.
Right.
And I can't say I blame them. So I don't know. It was slim pickings. RJ was, I think, kind of the obvious choice. Has he been a disappointment as far as third picks go? I guess. But I still feel like he's a guy who we could possibly flip at some point for something else.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think RJ is the kind of player who clearly at this point is someone that means a lot to this team for our future and our trade market. So, you know,
That's fair, Sha. He is our biggest question mark, and I think he's our biggest swing player. Like, if he plays great down the stretch and in the playoffs, this is a completely different team. So, sure. Yeah, it is fair. It is fair that he's the topic, because I do think that he's the guy who, if this team is going to, like, surprise some folks, he's going to have to be, like, a legit, legit threat as a number three.
So, okay. Since we have to talk about RJ, right? Since we can't talk about anything else, clearly. What do you possibly see RJ changing that'll make him valuable to this team?
I need RJ. So I got the perfect answer for that.
Right? Not what you want. Not what you want.
No. I don't think it's impossible. I think that, and we talked about, you know, Mitch coming back and how he's got kind of this connection with Mitch. Seems like Mitch makes him a better playmaker. Like, he needs to make better decisions when he's driving to the rim, bro. I swear, I feel like half of the problems in his game are like, is his decision making driving to the rim. Like, sure. Sometimes he takes shots that, like, it's like, bro, you know that you're not gonna make that layup, yo. Mm-hmm. Like you got a guy open in the corner. He needs to make better rim reads. So, I said it, I think it might have been the last show or the show before that. I said that when the games where he has it going. Like, if you look at those games where he was hot, he didn't just make all the shots. He made, like, all of the right decisions. right? He made all of the right passes. He made all of the right plays. Like, this dude needs to be a better playmaker. Like, yeah. At this point in his development, I expect the RJ, especially he gets pretty good usage, especially when he's playing with the second unit. I expect RJ to be a 4-5 assist guy, and he's not.
RJ definitely has to be a better playmaker because he's not a scorer. Like, that's the fact that he does the best thing that he does is scoring, and that's not what he is a problem.
But he thinks that he still believes that he's a bucket, though. Because he's been a bucket his entire life.
Like I said, my frustration with RJ Barrett, my personal frustration, is the fact that he does not look at mid-range jump shots. And someone who is a wing that doesn't look at mid-range jump shots, you will always have problems with inefficiency at the three-point line and at the rim. So if you're not going to be able to get to the rim and get fouled every single time in RJ's position, he's not really that effective. So, and this is another thing. This is why I don't want people to think that I'm like on the defend RJ train, because I'm not. I call this bullshit out every time I see it. And he looks like shit half the time I see him out there. And half the time is usually the first half. Like, he looks like shit half a game. No matter how good he plays.
How many times I came in the chat like, yo, bro, another fucking 1-for-7 start with this kid.
And then he finished with like 20-something points.
Like, we all get fucking impatient with him because it's frustrating as hell to watch. As far as his value around the league, I hope that you guys are wrong. The hell with you guys. But, I mean, that's possible, too, that he might not have that much value around the league. I have no idea. I don't know what other
I don't think gems. He has that much value around the league either. Like, what? Unless you're a team who is looking to completely get rid of your star and you just want a bunch of young pieces, and RJ is one of those pieces, that's the only way you're getting. Like,
but in all honesty, right? And I'm not trying to compare, but I think it's fair. How much value did Lauri Markkanen really have? You know what I mean? Like, Lauri was looked at as low, kind of a failure.
But it was main. His issue was injury. It was never the
not talent. Just, but he also, I mean, my boy is a Bulls fan, bro, so he be giving me the loadout. Like, he also didn't play well a lot of the times. He was inconsistent.
That was also a poorly structured team.
It was
a terribly structured
but
team.
But even more reason why you would expect him to kind of, like, stand out at least. Because usually on bad teams, it's the one guy who kind of stands out. And Lauri had all the talent to stand out. And if nothing else, he had all the talent to stand out in Chicago.
But we spoke about Jared Culver and why it was hard for him to stick in Minnesota and in Atlanta. Because if you continue to get hurt, even if there's opportunity for you and there's no one else there at your position, you can't consistently, the coach isn't going to trust you to be out there if you can't stay on the floor.
But Lauri was on the floor when he was healthy. Culver literally can't get in the game. Right? Lauri was...
Yeah, two.
The Bulls literally would throw Lauri out there for 30 minutes, and he would put up very, very average numbers.
Right. But like I said, the injury factor is the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're injured often, like, it's almost a thing that happens at least once every month or two, and it's a pretty significant injury that you're gonna miss like about a week here or there. That's a rhythm. Like, you can't get a rhythm like that. So when you have a completely, like, a whole offseason with one team, a new roster, a better constructed roster around you with pieces that actually fit you, it's easy for him to come in and have this season if that was your potential. You know what I'm saying?
So when was it? We're in February now. So that January version of RJ, right, before the hand injury. Mm-hmm. If we could get that RJ down the stretch, I think that the Knicks got a puncher's chance, especially if we get the fifth seed. Because that version of him was the version I just described. The guy who made the right reads, driving to the rim. He made his threes, right? And I think he was averaging like 24 points per game. He had like a long stretch where he averaged like 24 a game. an efficient 24 a game. And then he hurt the hand, and since he's come back, he's played like shit.
I think that, honestly, it's RJ is probably not going to be on the team for long. RJ also probably was a he doesn't know how to take a lot of what's going on, because last year that wasn't his pecking order was different last year. Now that Jalen Brunson's here, it changed the window that we have. It changed what our direction was. It was a whole lot. And I feel you, Sha, in terms of we just got to find a way to move him, period. I don't think he's that bad. Where you just got to get him off your squad. And that's so
my thing is, like, I don't think we, like, if the Knicks move him, ideally they want to bring in an all-star.
That's what I'm right? saying. That's what I'm saying.
Like, who's that guy?
Right. Who? No, who is the team that is all right with giving up their all-star and taking RJ and a couple pieces in return?
See, if you gave me RJ and three first rounders and I don't know another guy, I don't know who the other guy is. I don't want to say quickly because I'm a Knicks fan, right? But if you give me like another guy along with RJ and three firsts, I would make the deal.
Yeah, depending on who the guy is you're giving up. Like, if it's Kawhi, I'm not taking that deal. If it's any star, any Paul George, I'm not taking that deal. I'm not taking
if
that.
You, see, bro, if you – see, this is the thing, bro. This is the problem. If you want to trade a guy, if you want to move Paul George, right, if you want to move Kevin Durant or Devin Booker or any of these guys, like, you got to play fucking fair, bro. Like, what more do you want?
I mean, shit that other teams could offer. That's usually our
issue. Well, then you know what? I'll keep RJ and his 20 points per game, and you can fuck off, bro. Like, but seriously.
That's partly the reasoning why I'm, like, not so gung-ho on moving RJ. Because what can we actually get back for RJ? Like, what can we get for RJ?
Bro, I just feel like I see these teams make these deals all the time, and I'm like, that guy that they gave up is an okay player, and they got back an all-star. So I don't understand what's different here, bro. Mm-hmm. Is it because we're the Knicks? Like, what's different, bro?
I don't know. I mean,
if you're giving me back your 30-year-old all-star, your 32-year-old all-star, and I'm giving you my 22-year-old third pick overall who averages 20 points per game, like, and I'm giving you another guy, I don't know, Obi Quickly, whomever that guy is, right? Grimes, and I'm giving you three first round picks, maybe a fourth. Like, what the fuck more you want from me, bro?
At the end of the day, though, I think the biggest difference this year is RJ Barrett used to be a good defensive player. Now he's not getting that. I think for him to be with this team,
I think he could get back to that, though.
And I hope he does, because when it comes to, like, depending on who the coach is, if you got Tibbs, him not playing defense isn't going to work.
I think he needs to go back into the offseason and probably lose some weight, because I think he put on a little weight this offseason, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. I think he needs to drop a little bit of weight. I think he could get back to being a service of the defensive player. I really do.
I really hope that he could lose some weight, because I think he put on an extra, like, muscle, thinking that, you know, that'll help him defend, and it just slowed him down. Like, his footwork is already slow, as it is. So you can't throw that much more weight on that build and think you're going to keep up with the best twos and threes in the game. Like, that's not going to happen. Paris Duggar says RJ needs to coaching film sessions to reprogram how to play make first and not worry about getting his 20 points.
Yeah, I don't think anybody watches more film than all of these guys today.
Nah, like, see, this is something that I did notice, though. I do notice today that he, not today, this year.
He's verbally said that he watches a lot of film.
No, like, I'm saying that this year I've seen RJ make more selfish plays than he's made in the past.
You feeling left out, you think?
I think there is some of that. I think there is some of him And that's kind of what I was saying earlier about the way last year ended, and the window that last year provided for him was, all right, I have time to grow and have a team built around me. Until they got Jalen Brunson. And then that changed, because now Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle are our 1-2 punch. So now it changed RJ's role here. You know what I'm saying? Like, he used to get a whole lot of possessions where he could just throw up whatever the hell he wanted last year, especially towards the end of the season. But when you bring in Jalen Brunson and then you start winning, and it's like, yo, let's see what we can get out of Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. You're going to lose 10 shots a game, RJ. You know what I'm saying? But I think RJ needs to learn, like Paris said, you still have to be a team first player. That'll solve everything. That'll solve all of this shit that we're talking about. Because the reason why RJ can't finish at the rim is because everybody knows he's going to the basket every single time he has the ball inside the three-point arc. More likely than not, if he steps inside the three-point line, RJ is going to the basket. More than not. I mean, and as I've said plenty of times, Joe, that's my frustration with RJ, is if he's not shooting a three, he's taking a layup. And everybody across the league knows that. You know what I'm saying? So if everybody knows that this guy who's not necessarily the most athletic finisher in the world, who's not going to finish over you, is going to the basket every time, it's very easy to defend him. So like I said, add a step back. Add a just stop and pull up.
So I'm looking at field goal attempts.
Mid-range to your game, or you will continue to have it. Yeah, the efficiency is going to be terrible.
You ready? Ready?
No.
I'm looking at field goal attempts from this year to last year. It hasn't changed much at all, bro.
I'm going to say the same, but it's the timing that he gets him. A lot of his shots now he's taking with the second unit, and it's like different kind of shots than he was taking last year.
Like last year, he took 17.1 a game. Mm-hmm. This year he's taken 16.3.
So it's about a percent one less per game, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's the timing of when he gets these shots. A lot of the shots that he's getting off the bench with the second unit. Because when Julius and Brunson are out there, he doesn't get a lot of touches. Which he shouldn't. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that right now.
But but to be fair though, if he plays well, he'll get touches though, bro. You seen in the Bulls game, that game where he dunked on Vucevic, where he was just going berserk, and they blew that 9-point lead at the end of that game, or whatever, how many points it was. They missed their free throws and they blew that game though. But you seen in that game, even with those two guys on the court, they still went to him because he had it rolling. If he plays well, he'll get the fucking touches, bro. But if you're playing like shit, nobody's going to give you the ball down the stretch of games.
I'm not going to give RJ the ball down the stretch of games, just like I'm not giving Julius the ball down the stretch of games. I'm not giving RJ the ball at the end of the game because he just doesn't deserve it. And there should be only one person on this team getting the ball at the end of the games, and that's Jalen Brunson, as far as I'm concerned.
Parrish. I can only go off of what the man says. Mm-hmm. The man has literally sat down in multiple interviews and said that he watches film to learn how to be a better playmaker. So if you think that he's sitting down watching film, looking to score more, then you're calling him a liar. And maybe he is. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe he's a fucking liar. Maybe. I can only tell you what he says.
I don't know. We got to bring Dre back in. We're talking a lot about RJ. I don't want to talk about RJ no more. You know what I'm saying? But I get it. I understand. Let's move on. Dre did want to talk. There's one thing Dre did want to talk about.
I agree with you. Shy. Everything, like literally almost everything that you said has been spot on, bro. Like, that's why I haven't argued with him at all. Like, because he's been right about almost every damn thing he said. Like, you can read this dude's comments, like, one after another, and every single one of them.
Oh, yeah. He's 100% correct. I also don't see where I'm disagreeing with him either. Like,
I don't think that he thinks we're disagreeing with him, though. No. I think he's just
ranting on how much he with RJ shit, which all of us are. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about him this long if we were satisfied with RJ and what he's doing. And he's not. He's definitely not. I don't know what RJ has been doing. Like I said, I think there is something to what Paris is saying as well. I do think that there are certain things that the coach does with certain guys in his team that doesn't necessarily help their development.
Yeah, Paris, facts. And I always say that. Remember, I think I was saying about Julius, right? Well, I don't remember who I was saying it about.
That's another
thing. Paris basically said everybody doesn't know how to fix themselves. Like, people could watch, like, they could read, like, self-help books and all kinds of shit like that. Can they actually apply it in real life?
Right.
And maybe RJ finds it. He's only 22. Maybe at 22 years old, the things that he sees on film, he finds it difficult at 22 to apply those things in real life and become a better basketball player. The unfortunate part about that is that basketball is his job.
I think, you know, I also think it has a lot to do with, and I think it goes unsaid, is the fact that Julius Randle has been the best player on this team since RJ's been on this team. So that is the example RJ has. Up until this year, everything that we've complained about Julius Randle has been the example RJ has. He's seen it up close and personal, being the number two guy in most of those scenarios. So, not to say that I can't blame RJ, because I'm blaming RJ. But at the end of the day, he never really had the best examples. Jalen Brunson, great example. Hopefully he follows in Jalen's footsteps with his decision making and shot selection.
We don't, like that. So we don't actually wanted to like, I wanted to ask a question. I wanted to ask y'all a question. We could bring Dre back in now. I'm happy. That was a nice segue, Kat, talking about Jalen. Because I want to ask y'all, like, so far this season, right? But whoever you want to pick, whatever player you want to pick, whatever you want to pick about the team, the coach, whoever, what is your biggest nitpicks? Like, stuff that's probably not that big of a deal, but like, it bothers you. What are your biggest nitpicks about the first 60 games of the year?
About the Knicks?
About the Knicks, yeah.
Defense?
But I'll tell you right off the bat, it's the way we defend the three. It's like everybody can shoot. Everybody's shooting when we play.
Defense?
No matter who we got, everybody's shooting open threes. It's ridiculous. That's I don't know what's going on, what they got to fix, but everybody's shooting. You get some dude off the second unit and they knocking down threes all of a sudden, they play the Knicks. It's like outrageous.
My biggest nitpick, bro, is, and it's not going to come to fruition this year. It might in a year or two. I feel like I would like to see Jalen pass a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I feel like sometimes... Like, we run a ton of pick and roll, for example, right? He's tremendous in the pick and roll. But he's great in the pick and roll at getting his own shot. Like, I don't think that he's very good in the pick and roll at getting shots for other guys.
I'll tell you this. I saw him do pick and roll with Sims. And I'm just saying, for example, I could think off the bat a few times. Sims don't know. He don't look like he know what to do in the pick and roll, and it looked like Jalen Brunson wants to get it to him because it would be an easy alley oop. But it looked like Sims don't look like he know what he want to do after he set the pick. Sometimes, and it looked like Jalen Brunson is waiting forever to get him to. He's like, all right, I'm gonna fix it because that's who he's looking at for that play on that pick and roll. I've seen it a few times where it looked like they either were like a miscommunication. Or he just wasn't sure what to do. And in those situations, it looked like Brunson wanted to get it to him. But on the other hand, the other thing is, I don't know if Brunson is confident that the other guys are going to score and know what to do. Because at the end of the games, I don't like when the ball's in Julius' hand. I can't stand it. He can't have the ball in his hand. So now they're giving it to Brunson, which I think makes sense. So he like, all right, I'm going to give it to Julius. He going to dribble, and then lose the ball. Whatever the case. Even though he's been incredible this season, it's those situations the ball needs to be in his hand, and he's got to feel confident. But everybody seems like they lock it down. But I hear you. He does. I do see him. He's running with the ball a lot. He's doing a lot. You're right. But I think that's who we got around him.
Now remember, this is a nitpick. So it's really not that big of a deal. I would like to see him pass a little bit more out of these pick and rolls. Because a lot of times I see the open corner guy, and he don't hit that guy in the corner. But he's so great at making shots that you can't really be mad.
So this is my thing about that. I've noticed it for sure. But at the same time, I feel like in the beginning of the season, he deferred a lot to Julius and then realized that he shouldn't need to do it.
He didn't need to, right.
And I think that is a lot of what we're seeing is a lot of times he wants to be the team guy and come down the court and make the right play. But then he's like, somebody here is going to really make a better play than me. And not for nothing, the same thing like RJ. Who did Brunson watch for the last 3 years?
Oh.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, but I really don't think that Brunson is the type of guy who could be like...
No, he's not the same
affected. I don't think he could be like affected by like what's like... I don't think he's watching Luka like, oh, I want to play like that guy.
No. Because I guarantee you RJ is not watching Julius. Never watched Julius and says I want to play like that guy. It's just
I see what you're saying.
What they're allowed to do.
Yeah.
With their responsibilities. What they're allowed to do with the responsibilities that they have. Julius Randle, with the responsibilities he had, the things he was allowed to do, those are the examples that RJ saw. Luka Doncic, the responsibility that he had, the things he was allowed to do. Brunson's like, I want to be able to do that shit. And he watched it. He watched it in practice. He watched it on the court for 3 years. So usually wherever you are your first few years, that molds who you're going to be for the rest of the year.
Can I address something that Gibson said?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very passionate about this. So he said that his nitpicks are, and I lost it. Where the hell did it go? Oh, perimeter defense, free throw shooting, both very fair. And too much ISO ball down the stretch. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about that, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, everybody is fucking running ISO down the stretch again, bro.
Yeah.
Like, everybody. It's literally ISOs and pick and rolls down the stretch of every single game. And it's just a matter of, is your best guy better than my best guy?
Right.
And, you know, we've been screaming about that cat for like years since it was Carmelo. Yeah, I was like, why they not calling plays? They give it to somebody and it's like, yo, they've been doing it since Carmelo. I've been complaining about
that. That's literally every NBA game though, bro. Like if you watch NBA games, it's literally every NBA game down the stretch. It's your best guy with the ball.
We did all this work
making decisions, bro.
Right.
There's a reason for it though, bro. Like we've been over this. Like there's a reason for it. It's the safest way to play basketball. Like the ball is not being swung around. Teams that pass the ball out, like Golden State every year, right? They're like tops in assists, but you know what they're always tops in two? Turnovers. The more ball movement, the more turnovers are bound to happen, bro. So the game literally slows down to a bloody mess at the end of games, and it turns into ISO and pick and rolls because that's the safest way to play basketball down the stretch and to maximize your possessions. Like, do I like it? No. But that's literally the way almost every NBA game is played. If you watch the Memphis Grizzlies play, it's literally a million pick and rolls for Ja the last 5 minutes of every game. Yeah. Like, even if you watch the Clippers play, it's fucking Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in pick and rolls or some sort of ISO on the elbow. That's just the way the games are played. It's not just the Knicks.
Right. First three quarters is Randle and RJ's time. Fourth quarter is Brunson quickly. Josh had time to play mate. And I'm
disagree, actually... homeboy, because Brunson be on fire from the start to finish. He'd be having 20 steps by definitely, the first half.
Yeah, for sure. I think what he means is the go-to. Like,
no, I know what he's saying, but that boy Brunson been on fire. I think he don't show everybody his ass. Because nobody was expecting that shit coming from Brunson.
Nah, nobody was expecting it. And that's the beauty of what Brunson is bringing. As much as everybody wants to hate on what the Knicks do and have done, they're playing some of the best basketball in the league. I think they're top 10 in net rating. I think they're the eighth in net rating.
Sixth in offense, last I checked.
I think 15th in defense right now.
And they were top 10 in defense before Mitch went down. The Knicks are a good team. Like, this is the problem, though, guys. There's like the top six teams, right? It's the four teams in the East. It's Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, and what's the other team? And Cleveland. And then it's Memphis and Denver, right? And then after that, like, you got the Knicks are probably somewhere between like the sixth and the eighth best team. Like, they're in that Sacramento kind of range. And there's a huge drop off between those top six teams and like the rest of the league. Mm-hmm. So even though the Knicks are really good, like, they're just not as good as those top six teams, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's facts.
Really good, though. Like, we should be proud of this team. Like, they're really, really fucking good, man. I swear. But it's just this enormous drop-off between those six, like, elite teams and then the rest of the league.
East and West Coast?
Yeah, East and West Coast.
East and West Coast is just... Like I said, it's those top six teams between the East and the West. And then it's just, after that, it's just a big drop off, bro, where the rest of the league is just not as good as those teams. But I would take my chance against Cleveland in the first round. Like, I think the Knicks, if the Knicks get that fifth seed, I mean, I'd take my shot against them and see what happens all day.
Parrish says Tibbs also got to take the cuffs off Grimes. He's got heart and guts in that chest when free to be. The thing about Grimes recently is he's just been missing shots. That's really it. Like, I think he's been playing all around great basketball. He's just been missing wide open shots. He's been missing the shots that he normally takes. So, you know what I mean? Like, I just really think that he can be a better player than what he's shown, especially since Hart has been here.
Yeah, I think Grimes has more to offer. I don't know if we're going to see it this year. I think Cap froze. I don't think we're going to get it this year, but
I'm back.
I think in the future, we might get a little bit more of a look at Grimes' offense. But I don't know, because I feel like if the plan is for RJ to be out of here and to bring in like another guy who's going to be, you know, one of your 1-3 guys, right? Your 1-3 guys. Like, Grimes is going to be your fourth or fifth option. How many looks is he going to get?
He's not going to get role? Much. He's not going. And that's the same thing. Not going to get much role. I mean, not many touches.
I do think he has more to offer.
Yeah. Grimes, E. Gibson says Grimes still has more growing pains to go through, but I would like for him to get more looks as well. Yeah, for sure. And that's what I was saying earlier.
Oh, my boy finally swung through for Dan Love. I'm assuming that's you, BJ.
B-Fudge, my guy. Well, shout out to him. And yes, King, we jumping over your comments because you don't know how to act. We're doing a lot.
Yeah, we're not paying you no mind, bro.
You overstayed your welcome.
You talking about a team with a losing record, which is not true. Like, you just talk.
You're all over the place. You just used to talking your Knicks bullshit, and that's what I realized. It doesn't matter what we do. We could literally lose in the finals, like his best team, his favorite team, just now did in the Super Bowl. But we're not gonna go there. You could actually lose in the finals, and he will still find every reason to shit on your team and call your team trash. Guarantee, if the Knicks won, he gonna still be talking this shit. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's
When we blow up, man, and we get some mods, we're going to get you up out of there, bro.
We got you. Don't worry.
We're going to have the mods get you up out of here, bro.
We're going to have you at a bunch of Knicks games courtside. Don't worry about it. You'll love it. You'll have a lot of fun talking your shit with Spike or some shit like that. But anyway, before we get out of here, because we around that time at this point, we damn near talked talked to RJ for a whole hour. No, don't go nowhere. Come on, bro. I'm out here. Whatever.
See ya, Michael K. voice.
See ya, Michael K. We did want to talk about this atrocious.
Why you gotta do this for, bro?
This is disgusting. I'm sorry, Jericho.
Come on, man. Like, let my man live, yo.
But let's be real.
It's not his fault. He got the personality of a sloth.
Yo, my man really got the whole sloth vibe on lock too, bro. He really got look. My first show, we ended on this.
Yo, you know what got me tight? I remember when they said he was in it. I was like, oh, I wonder what he going to do.
All my man did was jump. I
swear. Yo, he put his hand, and then he did the one with both hands in, and the other one, he got the wrist in, and then, like, pushed it in. It was just like, dude, like, you ain't even... Bro,
nah, the shit that had me crying. This is what had me crying. When he did the second dunk, and he couldn't rip the shit open, and then ripped it...
I told you he should have pulled out a picture of 50, bro, with 50 face on it.
Wait, what did he do? He tried to rip off what?
He had an envelope with the number 50 in it, and he tried to open the envelope, but he couldn't get it open. He was fumbling that shit, and when he finally got it open, he ripped it.
Yo, and then held it up. I said, yo, don't put that shit down. I said, yo, put that shit down, bro.
Yo, he could have did a windmill dunk and did better than what the fuck he did. Like, in both of his dunks, he was putting his arm in the rim.
Both of them. Both.
Like, bro, we need some variety, yo. Like, nobody told him that Mac McClung was in the building, yo. All
right, so as this being your first dunk, all right, cool. All right, whatever.
It's a solid first dunk.
First dunk. That's why I was not cool. Mad at that one, even though he didn't get his other elbow in there. Cool. Right? Now, the second dunk. I really, bro. Cause who was with him? Who was in the gym with him?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, where's his man at? Like, where's his people? Like, what? Yo, you gonna put your hand in the rim again? Like
nobody on. So OB, nobody on the team was like, yo, like, he don't have no people around him that was honest with him, bro. Like, that's.
I'd have been like, yo, son, you could jump. Go tell him to put a motorcycle out there, something like that. Like, come on, like, do something.
His best chance. What he wanted to do was to do what Dwight did, and that's like Paris said, bring out the 12-foot basket, show us you can jump way high, because this literally all you wanted to do was show us you can jump. Like, that's literally all the fuck he did. Like, he didn't pull a windmill out, there wasn't a 360, he just jumped for both of his dunks, right? Obi could have came out. Obi won last year, he's your teammate, like, nothing. Who was with this guy in the gym, bro? Who?
My man said, I can't relive this.
Yo, I'm sorry. Yo, my bad. But listen, look at this right here.
This the second one?
Bro. Now.
He over there jumping and wiping his feet. I said, come on, bro.
Yeah, do we really have to do this, yo? Like,
all right, now, first of all.
So what they doing over there?
First of all, over here, right, there's on the opposite side of the court, like on this side, was where all the NBA players were standing and watching.
Yeah.
There's a clip.
Nobody moved. They were just like, what?
After this dunk, they saw him dunk. And I swear,
They're just standing there like a mannequin challenge.
Yeah, it was almost like they were just standing there and they just CGI'd somebody to dunk while they were standing there. Because there was like the reaction was, all right, just look at the dunk.
What they doing, and that's what really
added the effects to it. You know, they got the ladder out, like you got props.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what was about to happen, bro.
Seeing how this ended, I'm so upset watching.
I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, bro, what is he about to do?
He got it off and dunked it. Is that what they did?
Yeah, my bad.
Yo, he grabbed it after.
Yeah, hold on. Did you hear Draymond? And dunk
it. No, that's multitasking. It's called multitasking. Okay, let's see. You didn't do this at Carolina. Another arm in the rim.
Another arm in the rim. Yeah, I saw that. Another arm in the rim.
All right.
Look, he can't get this shit open. Look, stop. I don't even want to see it.
This is the face that you make. You are mad embarrassed.
Y'all are so wrong for this, y'all.
Yo, hold on.
Nah, bro. We staying right here. You know when you bring, in elementary school, you bring the girl, you bring her a letter, but you can't get it out the book bag, so you like making the weird face, trying to like.
And she'd be like, "Ew, you smell like French fries."
What are you still standing here for? Now all her friends is looking, and now you like, damn, should I even give her this shit? Like, my man,
yeah, y'all are so wrong for this.
17 seconds to open this piece of paper.
Yo, Jetty, when I saw the ladder, the ladder.
Yo, the suspense of him opening this paper was like unbelievable, bro.
Yo, as long as I had to pause, is how long he.
I was so captivated, bro.
Bro,
oh,
yo, Cat, don't go back.
First of all,
Cat, man, why are you dragging this shit out for?
No. Because I do want to give him props. He did get his elbow in. It wasn't.
Underarm.
It wasn't an elbow dunk. He actually I'm not sure. I think they said that he pulled himself up to get his elbow, his underarm in the rim. Maybe that takes some more points off of it. But let's just look at it one more time.
It's called multitasking.
Okay, let's see. You didn't put it all the way. Another arm in the ring.
Oh, he's gonna read the list.
He said he's gonna read something. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It took you 9 seconds to rip that shit open to make it look like that, Jericho. My man, look at his face.
That's a problem you have with being so tall. Spike is going like anything.
I'm sorry, guys.
I apologize. So real quick, around the league, bro. We gotta go around the league real quick, right?
He got a dunk on everybody now, so that you know they be like, oh.
Yeah, just tell y'all.
So Nate McMillan got fired. Why are y'all still doing this?
he grabbed the net.
He grabbed the net. Come on, Jerry.
Come on, yo, get off this, Cat.
Yo, my man Jericho really. So he premeditated that grab. The hand is out way before he gets up there.
Well, he needed to grab the envelope.
I don't think that's.
Yeah, that's what he meant to do, Cat. Because he went and grabbed the envelope after.
Yo, but nah. That ass though, he's still up there. Like he's freaking high, dog.
I don't know what to do with them bungees. That's why when they say he was in it, see, and he went back to grab the envelope. That's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, and did you see after the doctor he was rubbing his arm.
Yeah.
That, but that's what I'm saying. Like that was impressive. You actually got all the way to your underarm in the rim. So that was cool. It was just very awkward and a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah, so switching gears. Nick McMillan fired in Atlanta, bro.
Now.
What's wrong with you?
Yo, my bad, bro.
Yo, Nate McMillan fired in Atlanta.
Yo, all right. So they got his ass the fuck up out of there.
They got him up out of there. They're looking to bring in. I heard they're looking at Quinn Snyder. What was the other name? Kenny Atkinson. And some dude, I don't really know who he is. He's like a assistant in Milwaukee.
I think they said he was the assistant in Atlanta for Mike Budenholzer.
Okay. Oh, so he probably just went over to Milwaukee with Bud.
Yeah. And then he just went over there with him. But I think that's who they're considering. That's another consideration. But I think that's a very interesting move at this point of the season. But it
22 games left. Yes.
22 games left. But it had to be made because they're in the playoff. They're in the playoff hunt. So I can see if they were like a ninth, 10th seed, yeah, finish out the season with them. But I think they're trying to like salvage any chance with this team because they're almost sure that this roster won't be the same next year. I mean, of course, the main guys will be there. But I don't know, man. I didn't hear many good things about Nate McMillan. The only good thing that ever happened to Nate McMillan was him coming in and getting the team to rally up that year where they played us. And they played well going into those playoffs, and they went far. And that was as good as they were. That first year he got there. That was as good as they were.
That's what I said. Let's see. I expect them to play better ball down the stretch.
Right.
The only thing is, like, you trying to bring in a guy who's going to change everything, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's not like you're letting an assistant take over and, like, he's going to keep a lot of the things the same. And maybe they just feel more motivated because the guy who they hated is not on the sidelines anymore, because they really didn't like Nate. Like, the players didn't like Nate. Like, they didn't like Nate. The front office was sick of Nate. Like, Nate had to get up out of there. Right. So, but they're going to bring in a guy who's a completely different coach from a completely different coaching tree, right? And he's gonna come in and try to put his own system in and have it work in 23 games. I don't know.
I mean, hopefully he can get a lot of bullshit out the way for them in those 23 games and then get to, you know, the real nitty gritty once the playoffs start. But that's if everything goes right for them.
Yeah.
Everything has to go right. Didn't Nate McMillan had a bad finish in Indiana as well?
Yeah, he did. But to his, like, they were hurt. They had a lot of injuries in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Warren was hurt. The other guy, Oladipo, was hurt. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what they expected him to do when his whole damn roster is hurt.
Yeah, for sure. Afro says, yeah, I don't know why they didn't just finish it out with Nate, though. This could break them completely, and they could lose more plays in the process. Like, I don't think
this breaks them, though. I think that they're happy. They couldn't be more happier to see this guy gone.
No, I think for sure that I just don't think that them making this trade would make anyone want to stay there, is what I'm saying. I'm not sure if John Collins
made a firing.
Huh?
I mean, John Collins, they've been trying to trade John Collins every year for like the last 3 years. Like the last
3 years, yeah. Ever since he was in the dunk contest and he tried that little dunk shit and it looked terrible, they were like, yo, I don't want this guy anymore. But I mean,
he worse than Sims.
Listen, I was just about to say, we just got over a dunk contest conversation.
It's something that I'm like confused about that happened. So Kevin Love got bought out by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It went to Miami.
And now he's headed to South Beach.
Right.
Why did Cleveland buy him out? Like, they're a playoff team. They're fourth in the East. Like, I don't understand. What did I miss something?
He probably wasn't happy.
I don't. None of it makes sense to me because
it's probably all him.
him there all this time. It probably had something to do with they couldn't really use that roster spot, and they didn't really mind paying him because they weren't really doing shit, and they had to pay somebody anyway.
But you kept them the entire time you were bad, and then when you're a playoff team, you get rid of a veteran that adds something to your team for nothing, basically.
I mean,
I'm confused by that, bro.
What was his contract?
I don't know, but does it matter? Like, you were already paying them. Like, why stop paying them now?
Because maybe they could use an actual veteran that can play good minutes on their team. Like, that's the only reason.
But he's a veteran that plays good minutes on your team.
Until he doesn't, because he's always injured, though. Like, this is honestly the only good season Kevin Love has had since LeBron.
But hold on. So you buy a guy out because he might get hurt? Like, that doesn't make sense.
I don't think it makes sense. I just don't think it made it any more difficult for them to make a move on him.
And I don't get it, bro.
I don't think it was.
It was mutual. I just don't understand why. And he goes to a worse team. Like,
help me
make it make sense, bro.
It had to be a Kevin Love move, bro. Now that I'm thinking about it, that screams Kevin Love, because that team kept him when they were, like you said, when they were trash, and he wasn't playing. Like, what's the point in now getting rid of him? So I think Kevin Love probably said, you know what, maybe there's some guys down on the bench that I would like you guys to give more minutes to. I can go help another team that might be closer to that actual window. And technically, even though that the Cleveland Cavaliers are better in the standings right now, the Heat still have that playoff experience that probably he was looking for. You know what I'm saying?
They do, but like, I don't know, like, I took a deep dive on the East, bro, last week. Like, the Heat are not that good, bro.
They're not.
All the numbers say that they're not that good this year. And if everything continues the way it continues, like, they're not getting that sixth spot back. Or maybe they get the sixth spot, but they're not, they shouldn't surpass us. Everything says that we're a better team than them.
Yeah, I think,
like, I don't think they're that good, bro. So I'm just confused as to why this guy would get bought out from a team that he was playing, getting minutes on, right? That was fourth in the East, to a team that's seventh in the East now with a record. I don't know. I don't get it, bro.
Afro, I think Joakim Noah would agree with you on this sentiment here. I don't know, man.
It wasn't lit in Cleveland.
Yeah. Joakim Noah hated Cleveland. I think he still does.
Kevin Love signed the $3.1 million contract with Miami, including, right? And it's all guaranteed, and an annual average salary of $3.1 million. In 2022-23, Love will earn a base salary of $3.1 million. It's $3,114,138. So, like, that's what he's getting all across the board.
Plus the buyout money.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know what that contract was. It's not saying here. Let me see career
earnings. Yeah, that buyout had to be a good amount, because it was a pretty unnecessary deal when he signed it. Afro says, bro,
22-23, $27 million.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. $27 million at that point in his career after LeBron left. Why would you pay Kevin Love that much money?
But you're already paying him, though. Like, he's on the team.
No.
Like,
I'm saying,
like, why buy him out?
That, I'm just talking about that contract. That contract was silly.
Yeah, it was silly.
Paying him $27 million a year after the LeBron run? Like, you could have used that money thousands of other ways. You know what I mean? Afro says, I don't know, the NBA doesn't make sense right now. You got the Clippers happy to have Westbrook and they already can't shoot. I think, not for nothing. I do like the signing of Westbrook to the Clippers. I don't know how much it makes sense, but for basketball purposes and chemistry purposes, I think that team, I think Westbrook on that team will work better off than he would on the Lakers, because to me, I never really thought it made sense to have guys who are predominantly who always have the ball in their hands on the same team. Like, you got Westbrook and LeBron. Like, the only time Westbrook or LeBron can be effective is if they have the ball in their hands. They're not really like off ball players. Neither one of them.
So hold on. I was just looking. Mm-hmm. So he was in the last year. He was in the last year's contract. Like, I just don't get it, bro. Okay. I don't get as a playoff team.
You couldn't take it anymore.
I just don't understand as a playoff team why you would just buy out a valuable asset to your team, a guy who was productive.
Yo, you're toxic. Yo, shout out Toxic. It's been a minute since I've seen you, bro. Shout out to you. He said Kevin Love. He loved being on teams with no expectations. That's a fact. And of course, you're can't let that go.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Ever since the bubble, that team hasn't lived up to expectations at all. What they hold in their future, I don't know. I mean, the last time we played them, we beat them.
We gotta play them three more times.
We gotta play them three more times, as Gibson said. Shout out to you, Gibson. We gotta play them three more times. That was one of those teams where last year I feel like they had our number. I don't think that's the case anymore, though. Especially the way that we beat them with their team. Like, everybody was there. Jimmy Butler was there the last time we beat them. I think he had a terrible game. Quentin Grimes is on.
He had an awful game. Quentin Grimes was in that man's shorts. No homo. Pause.
That motherfucker was in
his jersey. Oh, can't say no homo. I don't want to get fined. Pause.
Who gonna find you? I ain't gonna find you. You say what the fuck you want, bro. All right, you know what I'm saying?
Don't tell me that. Listen,
bro. You heard it here first. But I don't even know what point I was on. Regardless, I think that it's just an odd move. And hopefully
it really makes no sense to me, bro.
Yeah, it's an odd move. Maybe he feel like there's a role there for him. I don't know.
Yo, Afro. Yo, bro, I'm so confused, yo.
Yo. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. That's a weird ass move. There was another move that was made. I think it was a trade. No, what was that trade? The most recent trade that I was talking about the other day.
A trade?
Westbrook. No, it wasn't the Westbrook buyout. Oh, where did Pat Beverly go? Did he say he wanted to beat the Lakers?
Chicago. Didn't he go to Chicago?
I think it was Chicago. But Pat, stop doing podcasts and interviews and shit.
Mid-season. Wait till the off-season to do that dumb shit.
Like, yeah, like, shut up. Like, I mean, I love it. I love the energy. I love the attitude. But, like, you'd be quick to like, yo, I want to beat him. I want da-da-da-da. Like, come on, bro.
So, Kevin Love in 41 games, 20 minutes a game this year, coming off the bench. He averaged, 8 points, 7 rebounds.
Salute, Ron.
Like, I don't know, bro. I'm stuck on it. Like, it's like, yeah, you're right, bro. I am stuck on it, bro. I can't get off of it because I was just so confused by when I heard that he got bought out. He was going to Miami. I'm like, why?
Like, why? That doesn't make no sense. Shout out to
what I'm trying to figure out more than anything else is, like, how does it benefit Cleveland?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. But I do want to wrap it up because I'm getting tired. I got a long day ahead of me. Got some family coming down. The big sis and the nephews are coming down for my nephew's birthday this weekend. So that should be a good time. I'm gonna FaceTime my brother here.
And make nephew's him birthday the next tomorrow, right?
Nah, his birthday is on Saturday.
So I was just reading that he wasn't in a rotation no more.
Oh, okay. See, there we go. I knew it made sense, and I felt like it had something to do with Kevin Love, and it wasn't there. And that's why
he probably. That's why in the beginning he had to be unhappy. It was something going on.
Right, right, right. If Kevin Love can come off the bench, RJ can too. Listen, Toxic, do me a favor. Just go to the first 30, 40 minutes of the damn podcast.
Yeah, please do.
Plenty of RJ content. Plenty. A whole lot. Trust me. You will not be disappointed.
Still Knicks fan. Salute.
Salute, salute, Ron. Salute, salute. As Dre calls Ron Capadonna. Shout out to you, bro. Shout out to you.
Yo, he damn sure do talk like he Robert Ori.
He is a funny dude, bro. He is a funny dude. Oh
man, Pat really think that every team he go to, they win.
That's why he's like, I want to knock the Lakers out. I'm like,
the Lakers got to get in.
Right, right. That's why I'm like, dude, like, why are you even bringing them up? And first of all, in order for you to knock the Lakers out, aren't you in the Eastern Conference?
Exactly. Like, why didn't you go West?
Right.
Stay West.
Ain't no way that's happening, because whatever team you on is not going to the championship. I'll tell you that.
Why he ain't go back to Minnesota or something?
I mean, right.
The funny. Remember he was crying and shit and celebrating. Like they won the championship.
Took him over.
Yo, the shit that had me crying is they traded D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers, and he tweeted out the gang is back or something like that.
The gang is back, and then he got moved again.
He got moved again, but right after he tweeted that shit, he got moved. I put it the Kanye clip. I don't know if y'all seen it, but Kanye, you know that little run he was going on, but he was standing. He was like, gotcha.
Yeah, and did you see the before he got traded the first time?
Nah.
So he has said something to Shams about how what's the other dude, Woj, how Woj got Woj forcing Shams to get back in the gym, some shit along those lines.
Oh yeah, he did say that. Yep.
And then Shams tweeted back a few hours later, You got traded.
Yeah. Nah, now who's laughing, motherfucker?
Yo, it's just like, bro, you need to get off Twitter, yo.
He should have tweeted, I've been in the gym. That would have been hilarious if he'd have tweeted that. Then you said, why? I said, hey, what the fuck is wrong? Afro said, why he ain't go to the Suns if he wanted to knock out the Lakers? I mean, Suns probably ain't want nothing to do with that. But you know what? That actually might have been a great fit for him.
I think every team could use a Pat Bev, bro.
Every team. Every single team. But listen, don't want to hold y'all too much longer. It's 12:14.
Yes, it is.
It's late as hell. We started late. I think that was the point. I don't think he likes Chris Paul. That's probably why he didn't go there. Him or Rondo. Yeah, a lot of guards in the league don't like Chris Paul. Very, very, very funny.
So retarded, bro.
But that's all I got. Hopefully the second half of the season there are more wins. I think how many games are left in the second half? 22
for the Knicks.
22 for the Knicks.
Some other teams got 23, some other teams got 24.
How many wins we got right now?
33 and 27.
Can we squeeze out 48 wins?
That means we got to go 15 and 7. It's possible. They got to get hot, though.
15 and 7. Tom Thibodeau's teams usually do better in the second half.
If we go half and half, if we go 11 and 11, if we do 50%. 11 and 11. And how many we got? We got 30. How many wins?
33. 33 would be
40. That gives us 44. Mm-hmm. What does that usually get a team in the East? All we got to do is get 11. And I'm not saying I hope we do better.
Whoa. Let me stop. If we only win 11 games.
I don't want 11 games. I'm just saying.
The rest, that would be an enormous disappointment. I just got to put that out there, bro. Yeah. Yeah, like, we got to win at least 45 games.
And the fact that we have, like Gibson says, 10 home and 12 away, the fact that we have more away games is better because we, for some reason we play
we're better road team for whatever reason.
I don't know why.
So, where was we playing when they were screaming for New York and we weren't even what was that, Atlanta?
No, that was Orlando. No,
that was Orlando. That was Orlando.
I think we still got, then we got another West Coast trip too, I believe.
Listen, man, I'm going to be honest with you. The way this team is currently constructed, with Brunson, the way he's been balling, with Julius Randle, even the way Julius Randle's been playing this year, he's a little bit more in control mentally. RJ's got to step it up, of course. I like the addition of Josh Hart. Quickly, he's been playing better. I want him to continue to shoot the ball and get out of the shooting slump he's in. He's doing everything else well. He's just
shooting slump. So you ready for the West Coast trip?
I know it's a lot of pillows.
The West Coast trip is rough. So it starts in Sacramento. We basically do the Cali shuffle. Start in North Cali and work our way down south.
Sacramento,
the Clippers, the Lakers. Then for whatever reason, they send us back north again to Portland.
I think
we should have started in Portland.
I think we can win four of those games. The only team out of those four that I think that is a guarantee that they might beat us could be the Clippers. Lakers, I'm not really scared of. Kings, I'm not really scared of. Portland, I'm definitely not scared of.
But check out what we face when we get back to the Garden.
Oh boy.
First game back at the Garden is Denver. Oh, then Minnesota. Denver is a matinee game. Then Minnesota.
We're losing by 60 that game.
Then Minnesota, and then we're at Miami and at Orlando. And then after that, to me, the schedule kind of thin out after that. After that is Houston, Miami again, Cleveland, Washington, Indiana, New Orleans, Indiana. Only scary thing about that New Orleans game is that they probably gonna be fighting for their life. Zion might be back by then for their sake.
He's not gonna be back by then.
That's April. That's the last two games of the year. He better be back by then.
That's possible. Okay. So if that's the last two games of the year, and that's how many times have we played the Pelicans going forward?
Because we played them once. We played them once already.
We did?
Yeah. We beat them.
Okay. We did play them already. Okay. Tell me wrong about that. I don't know. I think we can go 15 games. We can win 15 in the next 22. I think that's possible for us. I think we can land around the fifth seed and play whoever is fourth.
No, I'm wrong, bro. We do play the Pelicans twice.
Okay, I figured that because I did.
We played them the second game after the All-Star break is Saturday night we played them.
That one I think we can win because Zion won't be there.
They've been playing some terrible basketball, so yeah,
ever since Brandon Ingram,
but they got a lot of injuries.
Ever since Brandon Ingram got back, they weren't well. But you know, after All-Star break, teams usually get their chemistry. And it's like, you know, you're starting the season all over again right now. But I think we can win out of those 22 games. I think we can win 15. And end up in like the fourth, fifth seed. If we end up against Cleveland, I like our chances in winning that series. I don't know. We have to get severely lucky with whoever plays any of the top two or three teams losing to one of the bottom two or three teams. That's how lucky we have to get in order for us to go further than the second round this year, in my opinion. That's just in my opinion, because we don't control who else goes there. Me and Charles said avocado going to kill us. I don't. The fact that I understood that joke is crazy.
He gonna be holding Quentin Grimes again.
Yeah, like he's gonna be sneaking from out of bounds and throwing up.
Yo, bro. So one more thing. I swear to God, we could go, because I was breaking it down to Dre before when we was backstage. So I was looking at the standings and I was looking at like tiebreakers and shit. So we basically got the tiebreaker against Atlanta, right? We already locked in the split and their conference record is awful. So they're not going to catch us. They're 17 and 19 in the conference. Knicks are 23 and 16. We got to try to at least get the split with Miami. So we got to win at least one out of these next three games. Mm-hmm. Get the split there. They don't have a very good conference record either. They're 15 and 17 in the conference. The only team we got to worry about as far as tiebreakers is Brooklyn. So we got one more game against them.
We got to beat them.
We got to beat them. And they have a better conference record than us. Mm-hmm. So if they beat us and they go 3-1 against us for the season, obviously we don't have no tiebreaker against them. But if we beat them, I mean, we're right there neck and neck with a conference record. Maybe we could beat them out. But the fifth seed looks very doable because we have a huge advantage over these other teams. As long as we finish with a better record or the same record as them.
Yeah. I don't know. I think our chances are a lot better this year in the playoffs. Hopefully, these guys get that chemistry right and just keep going. You know what I mean? That they've been really doing what they were supposed to be doing going into the All-Star break, building chemistry. These guys now have some practices under their belts, working out a lot of these kinks. During the year, during the season, these guys don't have a lot of practices. It might seem like it. Most of those are just run-throughs of plays they already know. They don't really get to practice until they have maybe some three-day breaks in between and during the All-Star break. That's when you really, really get some practice. So I think there's the best is yet to come with this roster going forward. And hopefully we might surprise some teams. As Manchild said, we're going to surpass the Nets eventually. I think so.
That team, they really can't score right now with the roster they have.
Yeah, they got to figure out where they're going to get their points from. They got a lot of good players, but that's, you know, when it comes to team building, that's kind of what it is. And that's going back to having a guy like RJ. Like, sometimes you might need a third or fourth guy of RJ's elk because it's you got to have one or two guys that are guaranteed to get you some buckets, like something. And then maybe you can have that third guy who can have a good or bad game. He's gonna be frustrating himself. And Gibson said, I think the Nets will slip too. We need that one versus them, though. That would be a 2-game swing for sure. For sure.
Definitely. Hopefully we can
end the season the way we're supposed to and beating out Brooklyn. And we don't gotta deal with that Subway bullshit series that they talking about. Oh man, this comment hurt.
Gotta end on that note.
Thank y'all for joining us on the Garden Knicks podcast. If you're here and you're still in the chat, please hit us with a like. That's all we need. Just pay us with a like.
Like, comment, subscribe, share, all that good stuff.
Hit the bell so you're notified when we go live. If you're listening in podcast form, please just do us a favor. Leave us a review. Little 5-star. That's all we need. Not much from you guys. And that's it. That's all I got. And hopefully we'll get Dre back at some time this week. I know you might have a few days off, so you can get some more shows in with us, some post-game shows, one or two of them. And then we can kick the second half of the season off the right way. You know what I'm saying? But that's all we got. Shout out to the chat. Appreciate y'all keeping us going. I guarantee y'all we wouldn't have gone an hour and 40 minutes if it wasn't for y'all.
Yeah, definitely not.
Guarantee you, because that's not ever in our plan. We actually talk about it all the time. But whenever we go this far, it's because of the chat, and it's always welcome. It's always
welcome. We appreciate it. Y'all guys are great tonight.
Brett, definitely appreciate y'all. So, as I said, thank y'all for coming out. After our next game, I don't even know who we play on Friday. I don't want to take the time to go look because it might
add Washington to
the show. Oh, Washington, that's a dub. Let's do it. We will see you guys. We'll see you guys Friday. Actually, no. Like I said, gonna have family over. So, hopefully, it's a good game. Hopefully, these guys might be available for you guys, and it can run a show. And that's it. That's all I got to say. And then until next time, you guys have a good one, y'all. Peace out.
Peace, love, and orange and blue light.
Yes, sir. Yeah.